Good morning. This is Brad Foreman with Peaks Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We are on our fifth season. Can you believe it? 64th edition. Wow, 64 already. It seems like we just started this. Anyhow, we're wrapping up our big Norway trip, but I left you in Longyearbyen. What a remarkable place. I wake up this morning to cold, damp, rainy weather. Cold, damp, and rainy. It's not exactly what I'd call a good flying day. Now, if you remember from my past two podcasts, we are experiencing the most northerly inhabited city in the world. I can look across the bay and see a Russian outpost. It's that far northeast. 78 degrees north latitude has a couple of interesting things to discuss. Just visited, right at the airport, there's the famous seed bin. The seed bin contains over 10,000 seeds buried hundreds of feet below the permafrost in an encapsulate area, airtight. And there's only one door in that I know of, and one door only. It's a beautifully ornate silver sculpted wall with a door below it. I'll have a picture on my Foreman 7 project page where we get donations for kids at risk. So you'll be able to see pictures of this one-of-a-kind seed bin. Seed bin is obviously, well, maybe not obviously, was developed by over 100 countries, and they each donated seeds of the species indigenous to their countries in the case of a natural disaster or something worse. So these seeds could be accessed after such an event, and it could reseed the planet. So this is literally right at the end, outside the runway to the airport, so I had to stop in and visit this remarkable site. Since we're so far north and so close to Russia, this is one of the only airports that I know of, maybe the only one in the world, where they won't allow radar. It's part of the treaty, the Svalbard Treaty, that they would not use radar because it could be used for military practices. So no control tower radio. What does this mean? Well, pilots have to come in, and there's a, I don't know it, whether to believe this or not, but I've been told the pilots get three strikes. They can land once, they can land a second attempt. After a third attempt, they're sent home. What does this mean? They got to come up here with at least a half a tank remaining fuel so they can get back in case of the third strike. So under the weather conditions, I mean, it's just about a sleety snow. It's cold, there's a breeze, and it's locked in with fog. So our private plane, I'm wondering if it's going to make it, or if our vacation hiking trip and Svalbard will be elongated. There's no real FBO, which is the Office for Private Flights, at this, so we kind of huddle up underneath a service garage roof. We're not getting wet, but it's not exactly a VIP lounge by any stretch of the imagination. Well, shortly after arrival, 10-30 minutes, we get the word that our plane has successfully loaded. It will need to do some cleanup and fueling, and then we'll be off. We end up flying. Okay, so I'm at 78 north, which is in the Arctic Circle, as we've discussed. We are going to fly 2.5 hours to Bergen, Norway. Bergen is at 60 degrees north. Now, I didn't realize we were so far, we are so far north that it's half again the distance to the North Pole from the north tip of Norway. So basically, we are right now halfway to the North Pole from Norway. I didn't realize, and I knew we were far north, but you know. So I have a jacket on, of course. We land in Bergen, and it's about 65, sunny. Everything's green and lush. It's like a different planet. And only 18 degrees latitude difference. So there's a lot to be said about the latitudes and their influence on weather. Our hotel is one of the nicest I've seen in a long time. It's in Loftus. Spas Fjord, on a fjord. And the name of it is, I'm going to butcher this pretty good, as most of my climbing group knows, the Scandinavian, the Norwegian language is very difficult for me to translate, but let's call it Hotel Jolensvag. Very nice. It kind of reminds me of the Northeast Adirondack old money hotels. It spreads across several hundred yards of fjord. And they have a floating river, spa features, old-fashioned dining room. It's just, it's magnificent. So we get cleaned up and spot up a little bit. Get ready for the next day. And the next day is one of our most exciting of the trip. Trolltanga is the name of the trail. Trolltanga, meaning the tongue. It is 11.2 miles. It's, if not the number one hike in Norway, it's in the top 10. Natural beauty is all around. We climb at least a couple thousand vertical in the 11.2 miles. And it's kind of up and down terrain by over water, streams, waterfalls all over the place gushing from the tops of the mountains surrounding the fjords. It's magnificent. I mean, there's no other way to explain it, but magnificent. The feature we're looking for, though, is at the end of the hike. And you don't, it doesn't come into view to the very, very end. And you wind a turn, okay, you go up a little hill, then you wind this turn, and then, bam, you get it. Oh, there's a whole group of people there. And I still didn't even understand what was going on. The tongue is a rock feature that sticks out. It protrudes out maybe 20 yards, maybe 15 feet thick, and the drop from the tongue to the fjord below could be 1,500 feet. So if you're scared of heights, going out on this monster is something else. We take, there's a half an hour wait to get out on it. It's so popular. But it was worth the wait. We each got pitchers out there. We did a team pitcher. And it looks as if the tongue is just floating in the air above the fjord. It's, well, we'll put pictures also on my website, Foreman 7 Project, for you to view, because it's something. If you get a chance to get over to Norway, I would suggest it. We, on the hike out, I should mention, being one of the most popular in the country, we may have passed 1,000 different hikers from all over the world. Europeans, not too many Americans, a lot of Scandinavians. So it's very fascinating checking and profiling the different climbing groups out. We had one Spaniard that took a video of us on the tongue, which has received over 1,400 views already. I guess she's had to touch it, making a great little short video. Okay, so the next day we head out to a super cool place, and it's called the Union Hotel. It's an old historic hotel. It's under constant renovation, and this hotel is right up my lane. It's packed full of history, and it's all, you know, wood construction. We were told that this hotel, when during World War II, the Germans, the Nazis, took it over as their headquarters. And there's a haunted room. There's a rock in the second floor that was supposedly a rock that landed there from a bombshell that was exploded a mile or so away. So all kinds of history here. And from this hotel, we do our first climb officially with our whole group. Part of our group was out doing a family trip. So now we're at full strength. So it's a real test to see how everybody does. And we're climbing Saksa Peak. It's only a short 3.2 kilometers up, but 3,000 vertical, so basically you're ascending every foot of the way. And of course, the Norwegian weather turned for little worse, and we got some water, so it was very slippery. Very slippery. The climb was really nice, though. We all worked together. A couple slips on the way back down. But all in all, a great hike. We had a fabulous local guide, young 23-year-old gentleman, who made the trip even better. He was just a nice guy. It's great to have the local touch involved. Okay, now we got a travel day through Gengarange Fjord. This fjord's about an hour and a half long ferry ride, and it is magnificent. Big, high, sheer cliffs, waterfalls on either sides. We make several turns through the fjord, passing the Seven Sisters, the wine bottle waterfalls, and we end up in a little town that's at the end of this fjord. From there, we travel up this very, very steep fjord wall, switchbacking in the car, dangerous turns. Every turn, you have a fear of running into an opposing vehicle because it's so narrow. We end up at Hotel Storfjord, one of my, again, favorites of the trip. This hotel is the sister to the Union Hotel, which we just left. It is completely made of logs, no nails, no screws whatsoever. It's all notched and crafted hundreds of years ago, so every piece fits together. It's an architectural feat. And
Everything about this place is just stone cold gorgeous. From the window, the dining room window, we can look across and see our target we're going to climb. The weather is still nasty, but we decide to climb anyhow. The mountain is the highest in the area. It's called Mount Svitkinhorn. But once again, I'm sure I butchered that. It's a pretty good hike. We're on it for hours and hours, and it's raining the whole time. So basically, everybody's soaked by the time we're three quarters up the peak. The peak also had an interesting feature that there were over seven false summits. So it was very discouraging getting to the top and thinking you're at the summit. But no, it's further. Through the clouds comes another summit. And then that's a false summit. We get to the top. We're all cold, but not one of our seasoned veterans from Colorado complains a bit. We were real happy to get off that. It took my clothes, well, my boots, 3 days to dry out. They were super saturated. And they're a good boot, too. So it just goes to show you, in Norway, prepare for all kinds of weather conditions. And, you know, I would say we were lucky because over 50% of our days were clear. But this wasn't one of them. We got back and the sauna felt super great. I was happy, very happy. Next day, we drive around Trollstringer. This is the mythical troll area in the heart of the climbing region for Norway. We get to visit the famous Norwegian mountain climbing museum, which has all the old crampons and ice axes from the last 80 years of climbing in the area. They also have the stories of the first climbers to ascend the various high peaks throughout Norway. It was excellent. Excellent. Another highlight was we had a surprise visitor. Now, this is a very interesting visitor. 15 years ago, or 17 years ago, I think it was the year 2005, when the legend Tommy Hendricks climbed with us. And Tommy is a famous Argentinian, and he climbed to the summit of Aconcagua, one of my seven summits that we completed with him, and I have not seen him for 17 straight years. He was a legend in Argentina because he's the first Argentine to have summited Everest. And for that matter, I think Lhotse too, a number of peaks. Well, we hope to have him on a future podcast. When we left him in Norway, he had some medical things he needed to attend to. So we wish him good luck with the health concerns. His son was also with us, and it's a joy to see the YPs. They're always an inspiration. This was probably the highlight of the latter part of the trip. And we had to get a real alpine start at 5 a.m. to get to a ferry. Now, the ferry takes us up a fjord in the icy morning and drops us at a town named Memurubu. And that's where the world-famous Besigen Ridge begins. The Besigen Ridge is this high feature, 8.2 miles in length, with, they said, 3,000 of vert. I'm thinking it was more, but let's just say, for to be conservative, it's 3,000. We started real early, and we ran into some serious winds up on the... The crux is this nose ridge, where you got to do a scramble with all four hands and feet to get up it. And of course, on this feature, there were 45 mile an hour gusts of wind, making it a little dicey, but it was super fun. The weather held out. We didn't have any rain. Was a little chilly with the wind chills, and it was pretty far north or up high. This region kind of reminds me of Montana. It's got kind of more rounded hills and more farmland in the lower lake areas. Just stunning beauty wherever you look. On this particular ridge, it's world famous because there's two lakes. One's turquoise, and right next to it, there's a glacial fed lake that's milky white. So there are big contrasts between the two lakes, and it's a super cool feature. It was a long day. We enjoyed each other that night. We only have one night left. And the last day before flying out, another surprise. So I grew up as a kid. The Olympics were always a big thing in my family. We are big skiers. My dad and mom grew up skiing. And so the Olympics were something we never missed. The old agony of defeat. And the thrill of victory. Well, our next stop en route to Oslo was Lillehammer. And for those of you that don't know, Lillehammer was the site of the 1994 Olympics. So we got to see their ice skating rink, where the opening ceremony was held with the big egg. And we got to watch dry jumpers on the 90-meter jump. Unbelievable. I'm going to post pictures of these also on the Foreman 7 Project website. So you'll be able to sketch it all there. Lillehammer still has its charm. You could tell it had some of its old features, for, you know, circa the 90s that have not been updated. But I think that was part of the charm of it all. So as we wrap this trip up, I want to say a couple things. Comments about Norway. The people up here are healthy, sincere, and I think at peace. Didn't see any road rage. Didn't see any people are upset. They all have smiles. And we're happy to help you out. I just can't say enough about the culture. It's very good. You know, my theme of the podcast is get up and get out. Well, get up and get out and go over to Norway. I think you'll be so surprised. You can get around there economically. You can camp, a lot of camping. Or you can do, a higher-end trip. But I would highly recommend Norway for any traveler of most any age. It's out of this world. With that, I want to also add that I think the Norwegians, you know, July 2022, I asked a bunch of questions of them about NATO and what their thoughts were about Russia. And I'll tell you what, there's some serious nationalism in Scandinavia and Norway, and they're very concerned about this Ukrainian invasion. I think that because they're so close, they're deadly aware of the situation and are very concerned, legitimately. I talked to one 18-year-old hiker, and she happened to mentioned that they were reinitiating a mandatory military service. So she had to take at least a year from her education path to complete this because of the upgrade in concern. So anyhow, just a thought. These people are really being impacted over there. And so let's say a prayer for them. And please, if you enjoy peakspodcast.rocks, share it with your friends. We give all donations to Kids at Risk through my Project 7, Foreman Project 7 website. And thanks for listening. I hope you have a great day and hope you enjoyed Norway and Longyearbyen trip, July 2022. Have a great day.